Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I remember not all that long ago, Bill Nye, the science guy, saying, "I'm a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks, among still other specks, in the middle of specklessness. Therefore, I suck." Now, Bill Nye, the science guy, has become enormously popular. These kinds of statements have made science cool. And now we have astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. He was in Charlotte. And last night he was communicating something exactly the opposite, and it was still cool. In other words, it doesn't matter what your premise is. You can say, "I suck because I'm just a speck orbiting a speck." Or you can say, as Tyson argued, that we are not insignificant. And the reason we are not insignificant is that our bodies are literally made of stardust. That we are one with the universe. That we share the same DNA as the bacteria that infest our intestines. The same bacteria that may cause infectious diseases. So he's now turning the tables on Bill Nye and saying, "No, I don't suck. I'm significant because I have the same DNA that a bacteria has. And therefore, I'm very, very special." Now, what's interesting is you can have Bill Nye with his perspective and the crowd's roar, or Tyson with his perspective, and maybe they roar even louder. I still remember when evolutionists like Richard Dawkins argued that a boy had no more intrinsic worth than a banana because we all descended from a common ancestor and share the same DNA. So he had more of the Bill Nye vibe. In other words, we're not special at all. We're utterly insignificant. But again, Tyson has turned the tables. But either way, it's all sheer nonsense. The reason we are special is not the composition of our DNA. We are special because we are created in the image of God. And it is that fact that assures that a Down syndrome baby is afforded the same dignity given a distinguished scientist. In any case, Tyson has long ago made the departure from knowledge into the dangerous world of anti-knowledge, and people applaud. He has departed the world of science and waded into an illusory world of science fiction, all under the guise of making science cool. Well, why do I bring that up? Well, I bring that up because it's high time that we learn discernment skills, which is precisely what this ministry is all about. Teaching you to discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, so that when you hear these kinds of statements and the roar of the crowd dies down, you don't just go on as though you've gotten information. You process, you think, you discern. And then you become always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. There's another article in USA Today, and this article I was very, very pleased to read. The title of the article was Womb with a View: Fetuses React to Faces While Inside Mom. This is an example of how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. The findings come from the journal Current Biology, and they demonstrate that it is possible to explore sight along with cognition in babies before birth. Says Christy Dunn of Lancaster University, it turns out that the preborn respond to faces while in the womb in a similar fashion to infants. Think about this. So you can take the picture of a mom, and the baby's going to react to it differently if it's right side up or upside down. In other words, they're responding to the image with cognition. Also, they discovered that the baby's eyes are not tightly closed. There are times when the baby's eyes are open and blinking. So there's a lot we're finding out about human embryology. And the more we find out, the more horrendous the crime, the sin of aborting those made in the image and likeness of God. We must ever remember that embryos are not potential persons. They are actual persons with potential. As written in a fantastic article in the Christian Research Journal, it's titled The Human Embryo, Potential Person or Person with Great Potentials, written by Clinton Wilcox. This article, I mean, it's an article that took me a couple of times to completely process. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's worth mastering. The reason it is because as human embryology becomes more and more plain and average and, as it were, in the out of the ivory tower into everyday vernacular, we are learning that human beings made in the image of God in the womb are sacred. They're special, just like infants are, just like old people are. Must ever remember that embryos are not potential persons. Again, as the article points out, they're actual persons with potential. I'm the same person I was when I was an embryo, and as such, it is as wrong to kill me now as it would have been to kill me then. Again, the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. If you're not subscribing, please do so. I wrote the cover story, The Sunni Shia Split. This is a story with huge intrigue. And when you read it, it's all about the homicide of Muhammad. Who did it? You got to read the story. It's a cover story. But this journal is, well, it's chock full of great information. Not the kind of stuff you'll hear from Neil deGrasse Tyson. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Ashley, Everett, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for my call.
You're welcome.
So I have recently, the last actually a couple months, I have really been diving into the Word and the Old Testament and what happened back in those times and the darkness that's going on in today's times. And, I mean, exactly what you were just talking about, Bill Nye the Science Guy, all of our TV shows, our movies, our politicians, everywhere I look, I just see the enemy at play and the agenda they're trying to push and taking Jesus and God out of everything. And as I'm trying to open the eyes of those around me, I don't know how to communicate it in a loving yet a way that's, you know, telling them the time is now, the time is here. We are, I feel like we are at the end of times. And I just don't know how to do that in a non a non-disrespectful way. I don't want to hurt them. I just see it all around me, and I'm around so many unbelievers, and they just don't know the love of Jesus and why Jesus really had to come to this earth and become man. It's because of the spiritual battle. And I'm just seeing it more and more every single day on so many levels in our reality.
Well, so I'm glad you're aware of it. Yeah, I'm glad you're aware of it. And but as I said many times on the broadcast, the real problem is not pagans exercising their job description. What else would they do? It is Christians who need to be salt and light within this culture. In fact, it's interesting that you ask, how do I get this across? This is the very reason that all this month I have been offering people two resources that really help you engage the culture without losing the gospel. In fact, that's the subtitle of Russell Moore's book that is titled Onward. And I think the book is well worth reading on so many different levels. I was rereading it again today, and he makes so many profound points in terms of engaging the culture. So how do you do it? Well, this book is a prep sheet on doing exactly that. And then the Benedict Option. It's in the same genre, as it were. It's a strategy for Christians living in a post-Christian nation. Now, think about that subtitle. In light of your question, this is a strategy for Christians in a post-Christian nation. So it's a blueprint for how then shall we live. But we also ought to remember something. And I think you wisely alerted the audience to this in the prologue to your question. There have been dark times throughout all of human history. Think about when Ahab and Jezebel were king and queen in Israel. Think about Solomon's son Absalom. Think about the Black Death. Think about slavery. I mean, you think things are bad now. I mean, Russell Moore, he makes no bones about this. In fact, I underlined this probably about an hour ago as I was rereading this. I want to read it to you. He says, my denomination, he's now talking about the Southern Baptists, was founded back in the 19th century by those who advocated for human slavery and who sought to keep their consciences and their ballots and their wallets away from a transcendent word that would speak against the sinful injustice of a regime of kidnapping, rape, and human beings wickedly deigning to buy and sell other human beings created in the image of God. Slavery, they argued, to their shame, was a political issue that ought not distract the church from its mission, evangelism and discipleship. And then he goes on to say something about the church today. He says, the same is true of a church in 21st century America that doesn't speak to the pressing issues of justice and righteousness around us, such as the horror of abortion and the persisting sins of racial injustice. In other words, what he is underscoring for us in clear prose is that the problem oftentimes is not just the illiberal liberalism or radical Islam, as it is sometimes phrased. Those are pressing problems, but perhaps we ought to look at the fault line that runs directly through the human heart and then look at the church itself. Is the church being the church? Is the church even empowered to be the church? You'll hear me oftentimes say on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. What do I mean by that? There's biological power. There's intellectual knowledge. All of that is helpful. However, there is a power that can animate the church that is far from merely biological power. It is uncreated energy. And of course, when I say that, it sounds strange, but the reality is uncreated energy is a way of speaking about God, for only God is uncreated. And we can partake of His graces so that we can transform the world. Now, we can't do everything, but we can do something. So look at the mass problem. It's overwhelming. But God puts someone in your path, and you're equipped, and you can reach that person not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And all of a sudden, you see that the problem is quite doable. One person at a time. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
When militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Moralistic therapeutic deism is colonizing Christian churches, destroying biblical Christianity from within. Yet Rod Dreher believes that by rediscovering the past, recovering liturgical worship and asceticism, centering our lives on the church community, and tightening church discipline, we will, by God's grace, again become the peculiar people we should have always been. To equip you in addressing the natural religion of a culture that worships the self and material comfort, read Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. To receive your copy of The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And remember, both books available for those who support the ministry with $100 or more. All this month, some people say, I can't read one book, let alone two books. And I know a lot of people don't read a whole lot of books at all anymore, but recover the lost art. I mean, this is how you can engage and think. You're not talking to Rod directly, but he was very much thinking these thoughts as he was writing them down, and you're now engaging with him, as it were, in real time as he was writing. Same thing with Russell Moore in Onward. Great books. You ought to have them for your library. Hopefully your kids will sneak into them. They're transformational. Again, both books available for those who support the ministry, $100 or more. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Also, remember the number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast. As always, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go back to your live questions in just a few moments. Again, 888-ASK-HANK. I have to say something about the podcast. I started a podcast. It's called Hank Unplugged. And the first podcast was a hit. The podcast got all the way up in the pecking order to number 6 for the first one out of the chute. That was not bad. But we had the second one coming up, and it is my conversation with Rod Dreher. I called him, with a little bit of a smile on my face, the most interesting man in the world. I mean, this guy is quotable, and we had a great time just having a conversation. So you don't want to miss that conversation. And the way to make sure you don't miss the conversation is simply to go to iTunes or equip.org or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts and subscribe to Hank Unplugged today. Also, as walking into the studio, I was handed a list of testimonies. I haven't read them myself. It's a short list, but they're coming in by the hundreds, if not the thousands, and this is a selected list of recent testimonies. The first one from Nancy: I believe God sent Hank to us in this generation to help people like me understand God's wisdom. Thank you so much, Hank. I know your reward is great. Praying for you and your family. Keith writes, 28 years. Much godly wisdom and education. My favorite apologist. And Sandra writes, I've been listening to the broadcast for over 20 years. During that time, I have learned so much about not only the Holy Bible, but also many related topics. Christian apologetics was not even a familiar term to me when I started listening. Now I enjoy so much studying and learning so that I'll be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within me. And really, that's what apologetics is. It's giving an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you. I look forward, she goes on to say, to the broadcast every day. It has made a world of difference in my Christian walk. I'm so thankful for Hank and all the staff at CRI and all their dedication to such an empowering ministry. One more, Karina, honest, sincere, knows the Bible very well. He risks being politically incorrect to speak truth. Thank you, Mr. Hanegraaff. You know, I love that. Christina, my daughter's got a microphone on. And I suppose that's the greatest compliment of all. I mean, the one thing I have striven to do throughout the entirety of my ministry is not to be politically correct, but to call it as God sees it. From the very start with Christianity in Crisis, to the Apocalypse Code, to the Millennium Bug Debugged, to Has God Spoken, I've always tried to tell it like it is, because ultimately I will stand before God and give an account for what I did while in the flesh.
I mean, that's so true. And I talked to my students when I was back in Hong Kong about this, about how the gospel is offensive. I mean, we watch all these unifying videos, and there was this one video we watched, and they were like, oh, you know, they're so unified, but if you didn't agree with bisexuality, or you didn't agree with like seeing UFOs being the same as believing in life after death, then you wouldn't be welcome there. And so we have this climate that says that, you know, if you don't believe a certain thing, then you're not accepted. And it's kind of an interesting thing that happens. I lost my train of thought for a second there.
You know what? I'm glad you did, because I do that all the time myself.
Yeah.
Now, you have no excuse, though. I can call that a senior moment. I don't know what you call that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Christy Joe. She's listening in Montana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Christy Joe.
Hi, Hank. I have a question.
Okay.
And this is my question.
Sure.
I always thought that God allowed the devil to tempt us, but that a friend of mine, she came up and she said, no, God sends the devil to tempt us. Like, he's instructing the devil, you go tempt that person to see what we do with it. And I can't find that in Scripture, and I don't like the way that felt when she said that. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on. One is the devil is maybe the agent of temptation, and in some cases, as if you read through the book of Job, you see God is the author, not of the temptation, but he is the one that allows Satan to tempt. I mean, we live in a fallen world, and we have the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're all temptations to us. Now, when we are tempted, it is never proper to say, God tempted us. You're absolutely right about that. We are tempted when we are drawn away, and this is James talking, when we're drawn away by our own lust. So what the Bible gives us is not God as the one who is trying to trip us up, but God being the one that gives us the wherewithal whereby we can stand against the fiery arrows of the evil one, and after we have done everything to stand. So the whole issue of temptation is an interesting issue in that it is always a function of our will. How do we respond to the temptation is the ultimate question. Do we respond by giving in to the temptation, or do we act otherwise?
Right. So God isn't instructing the devil to go do that.
Well, there are anthropomorphisms in the Scripture. In other words, speaking in the way that a human person can attain to. But ultimately, the temptation is always the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we're not to think that God in some way or other is trying to trip us up. Now, God does test us. There's no question about that, and we see that testing in the Word of God. I actually wrote about that in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. There's a great entry on that. Does God tempt us, or are we tempted by God?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that makes me feel better, because it felt pretty yucky to think that God's sitting up there instructing the devil to go tempt that person, go tempt this person. But I know that God allows that, and that it's up to us to fight that off.
Yes, and ultimately when we stand before God, we will never say, God, this was a function of what you did. We stand justly and condignly condemned because we have given in to the sickness of sin. Again, I've written a great entry on that on the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. And I want to say to the audience in general that when you join Sierra's monthly support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, when you join Sierra's monthly support team, and in June, we are attempting to reach the figure of 100 people joining CRI's monthly support team. As I said on yesterday's broadcast, we're way behind the curve. But if you can join, if you have some of the Lord's resources and you want to become a monthly supporter with this ministry, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Nate in Peoria, Illinois, WVEL. Hi, Nate.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I wanted to ask a question about when Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 28:19 to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But then over in Acts, when Peter was preaching, there was a shift. And then in the shift, it said, in the name of Jesus Christ, like in Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 10, and Acts 19. But there was a shift in Acts when it was the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. So scripturally, how did it go from 28:19, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, but then in Acts, the way that they did it was in the name of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, there's no shift whatsoever. Yeah, no shift whatsoever. In fact, you know, the interesting thing is that we must always be baptized in the name of the God who has revealed Himself to us in Scripture as one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. So this whole idea that that one must be baptized only in the name of Jesus has led many false expressions of Christianity, like oneness Pentecostalism, to the further error that Jesus is Himself the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the ultimate error. They do not hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. Indeed, according to oneness Pentecostals, they came out of the Assemblies of God tradition, the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy. But in truth, the Trinity is neither pagan polytheism nor pagan philosophy. It's biblically based, which is to say, what people like to do in the man-made religions is make everything simple. But we have to remember that the God who's revealed Himself to us in Scripture is not simple. He is ineffable, unknowable in His essence. Thank God He's knowable in His graces. I'm going to have to leave it at that, coming to a station break. Written about this, again, in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available through the ministry. When you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org, where you can give in a safe, secure fashion and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Right back with the quote of the day and more answers.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture, wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. In case you haven't noticed, the enemies of truth and Christian morality are now legion, and their numbers are growing daily. As Rod Dreher writes poignantly in The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, now the floodwaters are upon us, and we are not ready. For those who understand the stakes, retreat is not an option, and surrender is out of the question. That's why, as we redouble our efforts at CRI to equip fellow believers to stand for life and truth, it's vital that we finish this month, the end of our fiscal year, in a position of strength to help finish strong and prepare for the battles that lie ahead to protect the truth of the gospel and even our religious liberties. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous gift. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. To say thanks for your support, we'll send you The Benedict Option. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Clinton Wilcox. He is a staff apologist for Life Training Institute and a certified speaker and mentor for Justice for All. He specializes in training pro-life people to make the pro-life case more effectively and persuasively. I mentioned the article earlier on in the broadcast. It's one you have to work through, but it's well worth the effort. Again, the title is The Human Embryo, Potential Person or Person with Great Potential. The quote of the day is from Wilcox, as he says, confusion in the abortion issue stems from seeing unborn humans as less like living things that naturally develop and more like cars that are constructed on an assembly line. And if you actually get into the article itself, he talks about what substance is. A substance is the strongest kind of unity. It has an internal unity that directs its own development, and thus living organisms constitute paradigm cases of substances. As such, unlike artifacts, it is the substance nature that determines its parts and capacities, whereas an artifact, well, I can't get into all of this, but if you read the article, you'll find out what he means by an artifact. An artifact derives its unity from its parts. A substance derives its unity from its internal nature. The article, again, well worth working through, part of the Christian Research Journal, equipping you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Why? Well, because life and truth matter. Again, if you're not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, you can do so online at equip.org. I also want to mention, I was thinking about Christy Joe's call and the passage in James chapter 1, verse 13. I guess I had a bit of a senior moment that didn't come back to me exactly as I had memorized it a long time ago. But in any case, James says, when tempted, no one should ever, ever, ever say that God is tempting me. Why? Because God cannot be tempted by evil. And James doesn't leave it at that. He goes on to say, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's a powerful passage, Christine. I mean, when you think about that passage, first of all, we cannot say we were tempted by God. I mean, we're tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. I oftentimes say that we can't really figure out whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. That's not our prerogative to try to figure that out. What we have to do is put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand, and after we have done everything to stand.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, I think that sometimes, you know, in America, we don't think that Satan is real, or we don't open ourselves up to that idea. And so then we then open ourselves up to Satan and to temptation, and we aren't protected by the Spirit because we don't take it as seriously. And I think the book of Job you mentioned earlier is a perfect example of how Satan can even come across the most righteous of us. And even though when we're filled by the Spirit, Satan cannot fill us, he can still, you know, get at us and try to hurt us. And so it's really important to be protected by the full armor of God and to continually commune with God and know what is of Satan, what is of God.
Again, I wrote about that, a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And I suppose the bigger macro issue, and you alluded to this in your comments, Christina, is the fact that just as I opened the broadcast today, many people no longer believe in the supernatural. They believe that nothing created everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. Mm. So at the end of the day, what is the idea? The idea is?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you have people today thinking that, you know, we're special just because we're united with the universe. And they're coming from a presupposition that doesn't have anything that has morals. I mean, when you talk about the moralistic argument or for God's existence, the moral theory, you can only have morals if God has morals. But if God is not personal, God does not have morals, then there's no case that we can say that we are special. They have no case for saying that. Because if you don't have a God, I mean, and that's why the Trinity is so important, like we talked about earlier, because, you know, a God that's eternally, three persons internally distinct, and a like love relationship with one another, loving each other as we love each other. You cannot have humans that express that love if you don't have a God that expresses that love. And so the only case that can be made for that is Christianity expressed as with a Trinitarian God.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, C.S. Lewis said that the simplest religions are the made-up religions. I want to tackle a Facebook question. I've wanted to tackle this for some time. It came in a few days ago. This is from Elaine. She says, "Hi, Hank, I have been praying for you. And my question is, what is the Christian view of when physical death occurs? I've looked at brain death, and there are different views, and also there is a coma and a vegetative state. Now, that is a big question. It's a difficult question, and it's hugely important from the perspective of medical ethics, especially in the context of organ transplantation. For example, it would be clearly immoral to harvest organs from a person's body prior to the actual death of that individual." That seems self-evident, doesn't it? So being able to determine the point of death is of critical importance. We have an excellent article that grapples with this question. You can find it at equip.org. It's titled "Postmodern Death, Organ Transplantation and Human Value." It's written by, this guy's just brilliant. I love reading everything he writes, Richard Poupard. Love his name too. Dr. Poupard wonders that although organ transplantation has saved many lives, he wonders about the remaining ethical issues, especially regarding the determination of when a patient dies. Brain death criteria have been widely accepted, and this has now changed the basis for determining death from biology to philosophy. Sound familiar? And we're now no longer determining gender by biology. We're determining gender by how we feel. And there are all kinds of gender expressions. I think Facebook last time I looked at like 57 different varieties. More varieties than you can find in an ice cream shop. But anyway, to fully appreciate the difficulty of the issue, consider that there have been at least 22 published reports of brain death mothers supporting and delivering, and that is via cesarean section, live human infants. Donation after cardiac death has evolved as an alternative method where a patient is actually allowed to die in a controlled manner in an attempt to save organs for donation. But both methods of determining death have the potential to decrease our human value at the end of life. Now, why is this question so important to me in this broadcast? Because we were talking about beginning of life issues. Beginning of life issues are of critical importance, but end of life issues are of critical importance as well. And I think about this a lot, particularly in my own family history, as you well know, Christina, in the Netherlands, we experienced the euthanization of some of our grandparents in a system that's socialistic, in which, well, this person doesn't have quality of life as determined by a doctor, and therefore euthanize that person. Mm-hmm. You also have this same kind of idea going on in the United States of America, where people don't value life at its end. And I've often told the story, and of course you were there to see this, of my dad. He was dying of a fibrosing of the lungs, and it was a very ugly death in the sense that he was suffocating to death. And I asked him once, wouldn't you sometimes rather go home in the midst of this suffering, go home and be with the Lord? He said, "No, Hank, every moment is precious." And then, this is the greatest story of all, he blessed all of his children, his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren, and took one final breath and went home to be with the Lord. I mean, can you think of a better example of how every moment of life is precious?
I don't know. I can't think of one off the spot, but I think that it's really important to remember that, and that God is the one that determines, you know, the time that we have. And when you, it's hard when you start thinking about these issues, because when you start thinking, oh, this is what determines life, or this is what determines life, then you start, you know, eliminating people from the category of living. If it's a brain thing, if it's intellectual, well, then some people, people with Down syndrome, don't have the same intellect that other people do, and yet they have a love that surpasses many what you would term, what some people might term normal people.
Or even designer babies.
Or even designer babies, yeah. And so I think that we really have to wrestle with this, because life does matter, whether it's the beginning of the life from the embryonic stage, or if it's the end of life and you're delivering a baby while you're brain dead. Like, your life is important because God created you, because you're a child of God, not by any other criteria.
Exactly, because we're made in the image and the likeness of God, and that makes all the difference in the world. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday? Your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be right back tomorrow, Lord willing. Same place, same station, answering your questions. Give me a call. Love to talk to you. Join the conversation, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember how significant it is all this month to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, not only prayerfully, but also financially.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Given all that's at stake, we're asking all of our friends to stand with CRI this month with their prayers and generous financial support. To make a genuine difference in our fight for life and truth, and to receive your copy of The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.